you deserve it.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Unmerited. You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
The anointing will not flow purely through a closed-in heart. And when we're holding on to people and saying, I can't forgive this one, and you don't know what they did, and you don't know what they said, really all you're doing is stopping up your life power, becoming a prisoner. But I want you to know today that as we begin to seek God, He would help us even with our vision for relationships. He would help us to love and to stay in love. And lastly, and we're going to get to Habakkuk in just a minute, lastly, a financial vision. You heard me say on last week how we really don't have to be rich. What we need to be is debt-free. Because when we're free from debt, it's easier for us to make decisions. Many of the decisions we make based on bills. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. We know it's the truth. Amen. Well, you know I got this bill to pay. Amen. I've been there. Amen. In some cases, I'm still there now. Amen. I would do this, but, amen. The job call, amen, all kind of things going on, amen. But, you know, I got to go to work, amen. Why? Because of the bills. But, saints, when we get a vision and say, you know what, I'm going to knock out this bill and that bill and that bill, and I'm going to live debt-free, amen. So now I can enjoy my life spiritually. I can enjoy my life physically. I can enjoy my life relationally, and I can enjoy my life financially. Why? Because God has caused me to operate in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. God wants us free, amen. Give your Lord a hand clap of praise if you got vision, amen. Vision. Vision for the blessed life. Now, I want to move very quickly to Habakkuk. A minute of time, we say Habakkuk. But if you look it up, it's actually Habakkuk. And Habakkuk means embraced. And if you study Habakkuk, really, it took him a while to embrace what God was saying. Because Habakkuk lived in a day, if you read chapter 1, to where he was looking around and so many things were unfair. So many things seemed to be unjust. And he would talk to the Lord about it, but the Lord would speak back to him opposite of what he was talking about. He wouldn't even respond to Habakkuk about what he was saying. He would talk about the injustice and the unfairness concerning his people, and the Lord would speak back and tell him about what he's doing with the Babylonian army. But it's in chapter 2 that we want to put our focus on this morning. It's the seeking aspect. I want to entitle this morning's message, Write the Vision. Now that you know what the vision is and you've made a decision to stay with the vision, I want to tell you now we need to write the vision. In chapter 2, King James Version, verse number 1, I like what Habakkuk says. He said, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Now, you've heard me talk about vision, but the true essence of vision is not so much the vision I make up for myself. The real vision is the vision that I seek God for. The real vision is, God, what do you say about my spiritual life? What do you say about my physical body? What do you say about my relationships? What do you say about my finances? And as we stand and we wake, see, this is a little different than us making our own plan. This takes a little work. This takes some fasting, some prayer, some time spent in his presence where you say, God, what do you want? When was the last time we asked God, what do you want me to do with my life? Because many times we can go and do our own thing. Amen. I know I've been there, but I'm at the place now. I'm like Habakkuk, and I'm standing, amen, on guard, saying, God, what do you want? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to spend my money? What do you want me to say? God, your will is my will. It's no longer my will. That's maturity. It's your will. How many know we can do a lot of different things, and they end up being our will, and then God's mercy is there for us, but we suffer consequences we didn't have to suffer if we would have first sought his will. Habakkuk said, I'm standing. I'm waiting to hear. Because his first response, verse number 5 in chapter 1, it really didn't make sense. I'm talking about one thing and God talking about something else. Amen. You ever been down to where you got your mind on something and God, I'm not even dealing with that. I'm dealing with this right here. This you don't want to deal with, I'm dealing with this. Amen, somebody. So Habakkuk said, listen, I'm going to stand and I'm going to wait to see what he has to say. But then when God finally speaks, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write the vision. I want you to make it plain that them that read it can run with it. We can talk about vision all day long. But if we don't make a decision to write down what the vision is, a lot of times it'll just be an afterthought. Something we think about but never achieve. Probably about 3 years ago, I had on one of my at the beginning of year goals, I wanted to write 3 books that year. I was able to write one. I didn't get all 3 written. Amen. The next year, amen, wrote another one. Amen. But how many know, even though I missed the overall goal, I got one because it was written down. We talk about our diets. Amen. Hey, I want to lose 25 pounds. Amen. I was telling the brothers earlier, man, it ain't always easy to lose weight. I don't know if y'all can testify. Amen, somebody. But if I write it down, I have to admire my wife. She do some stuff, amen. It's hard for me to do, amen. They had this thing, is that Jenny Craig where they count them points, amen? Weight Watchers, count them points. I say, golly, I don't think I can live like that, amen. But I watched her faithfully count these points, amen. And it worked for her, amen, somebody. But it takes vision to stay disciplined to complete a goal. Same thing with the finances. How many have been debt-free before? You've been debt-free before. You've been debt, but back in some form of debt. Don't raise your hand. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. Amen. But we have to stay there. How do you stay there? You follow the budget. You have to write the budget down. Amen, somebody. If it's a weight goal, we have to write it down. I'm going to drink so much water. I'm going to eat this amount of food. Amen. Our family has not perfected it, but one thing we have said every Wednesday night, that's salad night. You just understand it's going to be chicken salad. Amen. If we do wrong on Friday, amen, at least on Wednesday, we're going to eat right. Amen, somebody. Because we want to try to help the body, amen, become what God has called it to be. Because it's a little late to do it, amen. Like Heathcliff Hustleman in the Cosby Show, to wait till you get 50 and 60, talking about now you want to change your diet. Well, now it's hard. But if we make the adjustment while we're young, get our kids attracted to fruits and vegetables now, amen, then it won't be so hard when they become adults, amen. I remember watching a show with Eddie Murphy in it. I think it was Daddy Daycare, and he was an executive. And the whole goal was for him to help them make cereal. And one box of cereal had so much sugar in it, and he was talking about, you know, I don't think we ought to give this to our kids. And they basically just ignored him because they was looking at the financial aspect of selling this box of cereal full of sugar. Amen. I want you to know that we have to begin to resist a lot of the temptations that even come to us from a physical or dietary aspect. This is all a part of vision. This helps us. Amen. When you go into any doctor's office and they're serious about you being healthy, they'll tell you to exercise, have a proper diet, don't smoke, and don't drink. But if you watch the television, hey, Budweiser's, where's that? Amen. They got cigarette commercials. Amen, somebody. You know, all these different things and medications with 1,000 side effects to help treat what you're doing. Amen. But we want to have a vision to be healthy. Amen, somebody. So we have to write it down. Praise the Lord. Amen. So financially, we have to have a budget. Physically, amen, we have to have a plan for how much water, a plan for how many days a week are you going to exercise? If it's no more than walking 3 times a day, do something. Amen, somebody. Then relationally, amen, who have we cut off Now, we might not want to tell nobody, but, you know, I just don't talk to them no more. Here's a better statement. We just fell out. Y'all don't know nothing about fell out. Amen. I fell out with her. Amen. You ain't falling out with nobody, you saved. You better fall back in. Amen, somebody. Fall out. Amen. You saved. Praise the Lord. What you better do is forgive. Amen, somebody. We got to forgive. Somebody say forgive and let live. Let me help you. Forgive and you start living. Amen, somebody. Because when we forgive, we can live. It ain't that bad. I forgive you. And go about your way. I forgive you. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. Amen. Come up again. Lord, I forgive. The best way I've learned to do the forgiveness piece is to think about ourselves and the things that we have done to offend God. But many times when we don't think about our own stuff, it's hard for us to begin to think about how we can forgive others. Because the focus is, look what they've done to me. But the thing is, look what we've done to God. And he still says, I forgive you. Peter came up with this profound statement. He says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brethren? He comes back and says, 70 times 70. Now, that wasn't an absolute number, but he was telling forgiveness got to be continuously extended. When we're talking about a relational vision, we have to have forgiveness as part of it. The first book I wrote concerning marriage, Wisdom for Marriage, Before You Say I Do, God gave me a little nugget. Coming into marriage, you have to have what's called the forgiveness posture. In other words, you already know there's going to be times where you have to forgive because you got two humans coming together. And how many know humans are flawed? Even in church, amen, we evangelize, and I hear people say, I ain't coming to church because everybody in there a hypocrite. I said, Doc, let me tell you, I'm a hypocrite. You a hypocrite. Everybody in there a hypocrite. If we look at what the statement hypocrite is, in other words, there are times where we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, but there are times where you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing too. So what we do is we come in and say, thank God for his grace and do the best we can. Amen, somebody. Because you're not going to find perfect people. And many times we can stand in judgment and criticism, amen, of the church, but being outside of the blessing of the church. Tell somebody, come on in. Amen, somebody. Some folks may didn't like the way the ark was built. They looking in the ark saying, man, I don't want to come in Noah's ark. But when it started raining, let me in. Let me in. Amen. Come on. Come on in the ark now. Amen. The rain is about to come down. Come on in the ark of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I'll stand at the tower. We in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. And I look to see, what is he going to speak? I'm going to end it here. I told y'all we're going to preach long. What helps us the most is, what is your overall life vision? As a child, I used to ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? How many know you don't ever have to stop asking that question? You could be 80 years old still saying, God, what do you want me to do with my life? You could be 5 saying, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Because it's your life vision that helps you to complete those other visions that you've set. What has he called you to do? Why are you here? Rick Warren made multiple millions of dollars off one book, The Purpose-Driven Life, because so many people are not aware of why they're here. Saints of God, when you don't know why you're here or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, you'll be in 100 different directions. And all those different directions never get you to the set destiny God has for you. But if you be like Habakkuk and said, I'm not going to move. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to watch and see, God, what you're going to tell me. I'm not going to go from church to church. I'm going to stay here. God, what you got for me? I'm not going to go from job to job. I'm going to stay here and say, God, what you got for me? I'm not going to go from marriage to marriage. I'm going to stay here and say, God, what you got for me? Because if you can stay and hear the voice of God,